Heavenly Father, we give you thanks on this Lord's Day for your love, for your care, for watching over each one of us. You have brought us through another week. We don't know what this new week holds, but we know that we are in your hands. We know that nothing's going to happen to us today or this week or this month or this year that us and you together can't handle. So meet with us now, have your way in our hearts, and we'll give you all of the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
I invite you to join with us as we unite our hearts and voices in this historic confession of our Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh.
may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Okay, thank you. I received word about my brother Dick Lord, Richard, in South Carolina this week. They did the biopsy and they're going to do another MRI tomorrow. They're anticipating that he might even have some cancer on the brain. So I know that he would appreciate your prayers as he goes through all of this uncertainty and then as the doctors get together to decide a plan of action. Any others?
I would like to give praise to the Lord and thank God for the people's prayers concerning my sister and her husband, Dave's younger sister. They did find them a home church and one that has a congregation. They have morning service and they have night service.
Great. Thank you very much. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Lord's Day, we give you thanks and praise for the freedoms that we have as Americans to be able to worship you, to be able to share what is on our minds and hearts, to be able to gather together as a family of God. We pray today that you would be with our nation. We pray that you'd be with all of our leaders. Oh, Lord, what a difficult time to be in a position of leadership. We pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to each one of them today, to those in Congress, to those in the White House, to those in the state houses all over our great nation, to the governors, to the mayors, to the local politicians, Lord, each one that is in a position of leadership. Each one that's in a position of trust. We pray that you would use them to your honor and glory today. We pray that you would be with our troops, wherever they may be around the world. We pray that you would watch over them, keep them safe. May they feel your comfort, your peace, your strength. Be with their families, Lord, during this time of separation. Watch over them, keep them safe. We pray today, Lord, that you would be with Rockwood United Methodist Church. So often we're tempted to look back and talk about the way things used to be. But Lord, you are leading and guiding. You are with us. Help us that we might look ahead for all that you've got planned for your family here. Remind us, Lord, that you don't call us to be successful. You call us to be faithful, and you'll do the rest. So today, we're placing your people, your church here, and all that is said and done and on these facilities. We're placing it in your hands, and we're giving it to your honor and glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and caring for us. We pray that you'd be with those today who are going through difficult times. Those who are going through times of physical uncertainty, they need your healing touch. Those, Lord, who are going through rough times spiritually. Those who are dealing with relationships. Those who are having trouble with finances, with jobs. We just pray that your healing hand would be upon each one of them. Help us today. That we might remember that we are called to be a hospital for the hurting, not a showcase for the saints. Help us that we might reach out and seek to heal the world's hurts, and we will give you all the praise. For we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you please come? Lord, for all of your blessings to us, we give you thanks and praise. We pray now that you'd bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remain standing as we sing He Touched Me.
Yeah. since I met this blessed Savior. Since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him.
You may be seated. Would the children please come down? Would the children please come down?
Hey guys, will you come up here with Miss Terry? I don't know where mine went. I thought she was coming. Did Miss Vicki take her on to the nursery?
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Hi, how are you guys? Good? We start school? Yeah, you like it? Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to tell you just a little bit of a story, okay? What I need you to do is I need you to stand up. Will you help me? Okay. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to lean over. Yeah, lean over. Just lean as far over, right? Just like that. Stay there. Don't move. Just stay there. Yeah. How's it feel? How's it feel? Is it uncomfortable? It's uncomfortable. You want to stay like that? No, I didn't think so. You can sit down. Our Bible story is about a lady that was very crippled, and she leaned over like that. She couldn't straighten up. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Don't you think that would be bad if you couldn't straighten up? Yeah, that would be very painful, very uncomfortable. But Jesus came by, and he said, "Woman, you're healed." Wow, what do you think? She stood straight up. She hadn't been able to stand straight up in a long time. Isn't that exciting? But you know what? The people around him were like, "I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that." And it wasn't because they couldn't believe that he healed her, but that he did it on a Sunday, on a Sabbath. Not a Sunday, on a Sabbath. Because they had rules that you didn't do things on Sabbath. Have you ever been told you can't do anything because it's Sunday? We're not really supposed to do a whole lot, are we? But sometimes we have to, don't we? But you know, Jesus said, your priorities are all wrong. He said, you are so concerned with keeping the rules that you forget what Christians are supposed to be all about. Because we love God, because God loved us, and he still loves us, and he takes care of us all the time, we're supposed to love everybody else, aren't we? So our first concern is supposed to be for other people, okay? Even though we may have to do it on a Sunday, that's our first priority. That's our first thing that we're supposed to do is to help other people, okay? Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these beautiful children. And we thank you for what they mean to our church and to us personally. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless their lives and that you will help them to always remember that our love should extend to everyone, no matter what. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
All right, you go into wonder worship now.
Shall we stand together for the reading of the gospel?
The scripture today is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Up until recently, I had about 40 books in my library written by Dr. John Maxwell. Dr. Maxwell is a Wesleyan pastor. He's written a lot of books, he does a lot of seminars across the country, mainly on leadership. I gave those 40 books or so to the Knox Leadership Foundation for their library. They are now in the Regus Center, where Regus Restaurant used to be, and they had new offices, and I thought they needed some research material, so I donated them to them. But in one of John Maxwell's books, he makes an interesting statement, which is kind of the theme for our message today. He said, "Hurting people hurt people." Folks, we need to remember that. It's true. That quote is in your sermon outline insert right below the scripture reading. And as we go through the message today, I'm going to point, and when I point, I want you to repeat those four words. Hurting people hurt people. Hopefully it's going to help us to remember those when we walk out these doors in just a few minutes. Let's try that. Hurting people hurt people. Easy enough. Okay? A father and a son were walking through the woods one day, and they came upon an animal that was caught in a hunter's trap. The animal was in distress. The son wanted to set it free, but the father told him, he said, "Son, be careful. A hurt animal will bite anyone close, even someone who may be trying to help." My oldest son will hit 50 in December. And when he was 13, we gave him a little American Eskimo puppy for Christmas. Beautiful little white ball of fur with a black nose and two little black eyes. That dog had a beautiful disposition. Her name was Tasha. She wouldn't bark or growl. She wouldn't do anything in the house she wasn't supposed to do in the house. She never bit anyone until. We had a fenced-in backyard, chain-link fence. One afternoon, we had to go out and run some errands, and while we were out, a thunderstorm hit. And Tasha was scared to death of thunder. That storm hit, and she dug her way out under that fence and took off running. As she ran across one of the major highways near our home, she got hit by a car. The driver stopped, went over to pick her up and take her to the vet, and she bit him. It wasn't her nature, it wasn't her disposition, but she was hurting. Hurting people hurt people. What's true of animals is even more true of people. We've all seen even parents under stress strike out at their children. I only remember one time in my life when my mother slapped me. Now, don't get the wrong impression. There were plenty of times when I had a meeting with the Board of Education at the seat of learning. Applied psychology, okay? Many a time. But only one time that she ever slapped me. My grandmother, my mom's mother, was in a coma. They didn't expect her to make it through the week. She lived about 10 miles away from us. And Mom had been over there night and day for several days. My next oldest brother, Dick, the one that's in South Carolina, was Grandma's favorite. He was in the Air Force. He was in Korea. The Red Cross flew him back home. I was at the school across the street playing one day, and my brother came walking down the road, down the street, in his Air Force uniform with his duffel bag on his shoulder. I ran over to meet him and greet him, and we went home together. Mom wasn't there. When we heard Mom pull in the driveway, Dick was standing in the living room doorway. I was standing right in front of the door where Mom came in. Mom walked in, she walked right past Dick, didn't even see him. She was walking toward me, and I thought it was, as a 10-year-old or however old I was at the time, I thought it was humorous that she didn't even see Dick standing there, so I started laughing. Mom was hurting. She slapped me. Dick spoke up and said, "Don't slap him." And then Mom lost it when she turned around and saw him there. I heard a story about a man. He got home from work one day. He'd had a terrible day on the job. I don't know if any of you all ever have days like that, but everything had gone wrong. He got home, he was worn out, he was hungry, hadn't had time for lunch, and dinner was not ready. So he unloaded his frustrations on his wife, who had been stressed all day from handling one crisis after another. The kids had been home from school and seemed like everything had gone wrong. So when he got done, she went upstairs and vented on the children, among other things, telling them to clean up their rooms or else. When she finished, one of the children headed for the bathroom to get some tissues to wipe away the tears. The family dog happened to be walking down the same hallway at the same time. The child, in the midst of emotional pain and tears, kicked the dog. As the totally confused dog ran toward the back door with his tail between his legs, the cat made the mistake of strolling into the room. The dog chased the cat back up the stairs and into one of the bedroom closets. The cat looked around in the dark closet, and seeing no one else there upon whom to express his suffering, the cat pulled most of the clothes off the hangers and most of the boxes off the shelves, and then proceeded to deposit a token of his total displeasure from one end of the closet to the other. An unknown poet put it this way, and it's in your insert if you want to take it home with you. A weary mother returned from the store, lugging groceries through the kitchen door. Awaiting her arrival was her 8-year-old son, anxious to tell her what his youngest brother had done. While I was out playing and Dad was on a call, TJ took his crayons and wrote on the wall, "It's on the new wallpaper you just hung in the den. I told him you'd be mad at having to do it again." She let out a moan and furrowed her brow and through gritted teeth said, "And where is your little brother now?" She emptied her arms and with purposeful stride she marched to his closet where he had gone to hide. She called his full name as he entered the room. He trembled with fear. He knew that meant doom. For the next 10 minutes, she ranted and raved about the expensive wallpaper and how she had saved. Lamenting all the work it would take to repair, she condemned his actions and total lack of care. The more she scolded, the madder she got, then stomped from his room, totally distraught. She headed for the den to confirm her fears. When she saw the wall, her eyes flooded with tears. The message she read pierced her soul with a dart. It said, "I love Mummy, surrounded by a heart." Well, the wallpaper remained just as she found it, with an empty picture frame hung to surround it, a reminder to her, and indeed to all, take time to read the handwriting on the wall. Hurting people hurt people. Parents take out their hard days, unfortunately, on their children. Religious people with self-worth issues take it out on pre-Christians or other church folk. When I was in seminary at Emory University in Atlanta, one of my professors was Dr. Fred Craddock. Now, Dr. Craddock is well known around most of the world and certainly all over the United States. He has done numerous seminars and numerous workshops. He has been from one end of the country to the other many times. He told us about one weekend when he and his wife were away on vacation. They came up to the Smokies to have a little bit of relaxation. They stopped in a restaurant for lunch one day, and while they were waiting for their meal to come, a man in his 80s came over to their table. He said, "Where are you folks from?" Dr. Craddock said, "Well, we're originally from Oklahoma." "And what do you do for a living?" he asked. "I'm a seminary professor," Dr. Craddock said. Oh, you teach preachers, huh? The old man then pulled up a chair. He said, I've got a story about a preacher. Dr. Craddock groaned to himself and he says, yeah, everybody does. The old man said, I was born in these mountains. My mother was not married when she had me. The children at school called me names and it hurt. During recess, I would hide in the weeds until the bell rang. At lunchtime, I ate my lunch behind a tree to avoid the other students. When I went to town with my mother, people would stare at us. And I knew they were trying to figure out who I looked like and who my daddy was. It was a painful time for me. He went on, he said, when I was in the 7th or 8th grade, I decided to go to church, even though everyone at church frightened me. I was afraid they would ask, who's your daddy? So I would sneak in just in time for the sermon and then I'd rush out. One Sunday morning, some women were blocking the aisle so I couldn't get out and I felt a hand on my shoulder. I turned and looked and it was a preacher. He said, wait just a minute. I see the family resemblance. You're a child of God. Then he patted me on the head and said, son, don't ever forget. Remember that you are a child of God. Now go and claim your inheritance. Before the elderly man left the table, Dr. Craddock asked his name. The man said, Ben Hooper. Dr. Craddock got to thinking and he remembered that Ben Hooper had gone to be elected governor of the state of Tennessee and served for 2 terms. The story could have ended a whole lot differently. Even church folk can be cruel, believe it or not. I've said it before and I promise you that if I'm here anytime at all, you'll hear it again and again and again. We need to remember and we need to be ashamed that the church is the only institution on the face of the earth that shoots its wounded. Think about it, folks. Hurting people hurt people. Jesus tells us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who despitefully use you. If someone strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other. I don't remember doing that for my mother, but I think she understood. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Why is it so difficult for you and me to love that way? All too often we strike out, whether it's our children or our spouse or our neighbor or someone of another race or even someone whose lifestyle may not meet up to our standards. Why do we use hurtful words? Why do others, sometimes the ones closest to us, why do they turn on us? When someone lashes out at others, we need to ask, what's going on in their lives that causes them to act, to behave this way? I went to college in Kankakee, Illinois, Olivet Nazarene, now it's now Olivet Nazarene University. The president then was Dr. Les Parrott, Sr. His family has a noted history. His children and grandchildren have gone on to write books and hold seminars. And they're very well known in the church world. One day, Dr. Parrott received a scathing letter from a former student. After reading a few paragraphs of the letter, he skipped to the end to see who in the world it was from. He didn't recognize the name, so he asked the registrar to bring in the student's folder. In the folder was a picture of a young lady. He recognized her. His feelings of defensiveness turned to compassion and understanding. She was an attractive young woman who in her junior year of college, had a diving accident at summer camp. She was paralyzed from the neck down. Although the state paid all the medical bills and the college and the students did everything they could to accommodate her limitations, she was unable to accept herself after that accident. She lashed out at the people who pushed her around in the wheelchair. She was angry with faculty members. Her letter to Dr. Parrott addressed what she perceived to be his insensitivity to her needs on campus. As he finished reading the letter, he said to himself, "I don't know what my attitude would be if I were forced to cope with the problems that she has." Think of it day by day, the angry driver in traffic, the impatient police officer who pulls us over and won't listen to our explanation, the spouse who constantly belittles us, all may have things in their lives that cause distress. You're getting that down good. Remember, when we're hurting, number two, when we're hurting, it affects how we react. John Ortberg says that one of the most common terms used today by psychiatrists is LFT. LFT. That means low frustration tolerance. Many people walking around today, as we see on the news day after day after day, many people walking around today are walking time bombs, just waiting to explode. We allow circumstances, schedules, and people to crowd out our ability to tolerate frustration. We live on the edge emotionally. And when we're tired, when we feel down, when we feel vulnerable, we erupt. Number three, the only way that you and I are going to be able to love like Jesus is to surrender to him. Jesus never lashed out at anyone except those who put the law of religion over the love of people, or those who use religion for their own benefit. Jesus never called anyone a sinner. Jesus never put them down because of their lifestyle. Even on the cross, he forgave those who put him there. A number of years ago, Catherine and I were in a restaurant, and we ran into two friends of ours. Two ladies that were a couple. And we got to talking to them, and I invited them to come to church. I'd just gone to this church and invited them to come, told them they'd really like it. And they said, "You would invite people like us to come to church?" I said, "We even invite people who cheat on their taxes and gossip about other people to come. We'd love to have you." But so often we want to draw a box that works with our parameters and our thinking. We want to exclude people rather than to include them. How can we live and love like Jesus does? Let me give you two ways. First of all, we need to give our hurts to him. We have scars that no one else can see. When we're under stress and pressured and fatigued, we respond with inappropriate behavior. We need to surrender all of our hurts to him. We need to pray, "Lord, heal me of unhealthy emotions and empower me to be who you want me to be." Number two, we need to invite Jesus to come into our hearts and lives. 1954, British actor Sir Alec Guinness was an atheist. His young son had contracted polio. Guinness loved his son more than anything else in the world, and he prayed to God that if God would allow his son to walk again, he would not interfere with the son's spiritual growth and spiritual life. Not long after that, the boy was up and running. Sir Alec began visiting a local Catholic church to pray, and even spent time on Catholic retreats. One afternoon, as he was walking, he felt the urge to go into a nearby church. He went in there and sat quietly, praying, meditating. And it was there and then that he experienced God. On March 24th, 1956, Sir Alec Guinness gave his life to Jesus Christ. He said that he had never felt such joy. The good news is that you and I can have that same joy today, even living in this world where... Isn't it time for you and me to surrender our lives to Jesus? Isn't it a time that we invited them into our hearts? Isn't it time for Rockwood United Methodist Church to rise up and do the work that God has called us to do? As I mentioned earlier in the invocation, we are not a showcase for the saints. We are a hospital for the hurting. Imagine with me, you go into the hospital, you've had an accident of some sort, and you're battered and bruised and bleeding, and they say to you, oh my, you can't come in here like that. Go get yourself cleaned up and straightened up some, then you can come back. You say, well, that's ridiculous. That's what hospitals are there for. You're absolutely right. And folks, that's why churches are here too. We're not here because we're so good. We're not here because we're in such great shape. We are here because we are battered and bruised and broken, and we need to be healed. And this is a place to do it. And our friends are experiencing the same thing, and they need to know that there is a place where they can come. No matter how badly they're hurting, they can come and experience that, both the healing power of Jesus Christ and also God's unconditional love for all of God's children through us who have felt the touch of the Master's hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we are living in a world where a lot of people are hurting. And hurting people do hurt people. And very often there are even people within the church who are hurting. And even within these walls, that hurting goes on. It's inflicted on others. We pray now for your healing touch to be first of all upon us, that we might then go out into the world and share your unconditional love. Go into a world where people are hurting, where they're bleeding, where they're suffering, suffering physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. And we can share that wonderful healing balm of Jesus Christ with them. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in his name we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. Before we go, I'd like for us to sing that first verse again. You don't need to hold on to your hymnals because it's not even in the Methodist hymnal. The words are up here. And as we sing that, I'd like for us to join hands all across the sanctuary. We're one in the bond of love. We're one in the bond of love. We've joined our spirit with the Spirit of God. We're one in the bond of love. The words are up here. That's it. You're getting the idea. Just join in. Grab some hands anywhere. All right, let's join together. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We
the Spirit of God, we are one in the bond of love.
And now, in that love of Jesus Christ, may you leave this place, feeling his healing touch upon your hurts, that you might go out into the world to touch others, that they too might feel that healing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.